Just a little context for you, if you haven't been with us for the last few weeks. We're in a series that's called Dismissed Children. No, Appointed for Fruitfulness. The scriptures say very clearly that this is a mandate. We have been appointed for fruitfulness. These are the words of Jesus. And so last year we began the practice of taking the season from Easter to Pentecost, which is 7 weeks, 50 days, and devoting that to prayer and fasting. And this year specifically for fruitfulness, that we would be fruitful. And so we began last week with a focus on prayer. Today we're going to talk about fasting, and then in the following 4 weeks we're going to do some exercises equipping one another for behaviors and things that we can do to engage with people. But last week, really quickly, we handed out this little prayer card, and our ushers actually have them. If you want one, if you didn't get one last week, I'd encourage you to take one of those. We're actually encouraging everyone in the church to take some time to fill out this little grid with the names of people that we're going to commit to pray for daily over the next 6-7 weeks together. And I actually invited our youth to be a part of this. The youth leaders brought this same tool to the youth on Wednesday, invited them to start thinking about who are their peers, the places that they live and learn in particular, to be able to share Christ. And then Janelle, with our children, we're trying to build these same themes into our entire church. And so even with our children, Janelle is teaching them today about just who God is, in particular listening to the Holy Spirit. And then next week, the Equipping Sunday is going to be on discerning. How do you actually discern when God is leading you, which is all part of this discipline of being prepared to share Christ with people. It's so important that that we're actually listening to God and abiding with God. Two quick thoughts about this prayer card. One is, as you fill it out, one word about families, praying for family members. Of course, we want to pray for family members in there. And I would encourage you to include family members. But I would also encourage you not to fill the entire grid up with just family members. Not that we don't want to pray for them, but part of this exercise is learning to be stretched in seeing people in the places we live, learn, work, and play. And so it extends beyond family members. And so I want to encourage you to intentionally think of people outside of your family, and that there would at least be one or two people in different spheres of your life. The second thing is, I want you to begin thinking about the possibility of partnering with someone else in praying for particular individuals. For example, if you live really close to someone else in the church, there may be someone on your street or in your cul-de-sac, and you could agree that we're going to pray together for an individual. And then next week, when we start talking about different behaviors, you could actually engage in those behaviors together. Or there may be someone where you work. Maybe they're not a part of our church, but they're a believer. Well, how great for you to invite them into this challenge of sharing Christ where you work, and that all of us are called to it, not just Mountain Park people. And so there are different ways that you can invite people into this exercise with you. And I want to remind you that the testimony of a group of people is more impactful than the testimony of just one individual. And one of the things that Jesus taught us about our testimony as a church is that it's our community of love. It's how we treat one another in love that bears witness that Christ is actually in us. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And so think about how you can build community into your prayers for people that you're concerned with. Now, today we're going to turn our attention to fasting. And if you're a part of our weekly all-church emails, you will have received on Friday some really practical guidelines on fasting. Things like, you know, like how many meals do I fast, or which day of the week, and just some practical things like that. And my hope is that you're already engaged with those questions, so you're already to begin your practice. You've made your decisions on what you're going to do this week, so that this morning we can actually turn our attention to how do we actually spend that time of prayer and fasting. So if you're going to fast for a meal, let's say a meal is 30 minutes, what are you going to do with those 30 minutes? That's where I want to go this morning. And you may assume that what I'm going to say is, during those 30 minutes, take out this list and just double down in prayer. Let's just pray an extra 30 minutes. I'm actually not going to say that. In fact, I'm going to say something that I think is counterintuitive, that I want you to put this list away on your day of prayer and fasting, and that we're going to do something else. And as we go into just understanding how fasting works and how fruitfulness works, I think you'll see that this counterintuitive direction will actually make sense. Simply put, quick definition, fasting is the practice of giving up food as a discipline of seeking the Lord. Okay, so we're giving up food, we're giving up a meal or two meals or three, as a discipline of seeking the Lord. And it just causes me to ask a really obvious question: what does food have to do with seeking the Lord? Like, how are these even connected? And there is a connection in Scripture between the physical world, things our bodies experience, and the spiritual world. And so we need to understand that. Really great passage that ties these two together is in Galatians chapter 5. Paul says this: walk by the Spirit, there's one world, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the other world. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So our lives are lived in two very distinct and yet incredibly integrated realms, the realms of the flesh and the realm of the Spirit. And our bodies, very simply, including the simple cravings of things like a meal, the cravings for food, they're part of our experience of the flesh, of course. And that even the normal and healthy desires of the flesh, God-given desires, things for food, sexuality, God-given good gifts that God has given to us, if we take these desires of the flesh and if they are left unchecked, they lead to all kinds of sin. They oppose each other. The desires of the flesh oppose the Spirit. And so it is the Spirit that helps us rein in the desires of the flesh. And I think you've experienced that. It's not uncommon for us to lean on the Spirit in prayer to overcome the temptations of the flesh, right? But notice that when we do that, this interaction between the Spirit and the flesh, when we're praying for the Spirit to help us overcome the temptations of the flesh, the outcomes that we're seeking are in the realm of the flesh. We're trying to eliminate sin, to avoid sin in the flesh. But let's try thinking about this relationship, flipping that on its head. Think about it in the other direction. It's also possible for us to discipline the flesh in order to bring an outcome in the spiritual realm. I want you to notice that when we fast, we are not giving up a sinful behavior. That's not what this is about. It's not about an outcome in the flesh. We're actually giving up something that's good and healthy, something that God has given to us, something like a common meal. And so this is not about reducing sin in the fleshly realm. This is about increasing our attention in the spiritual realm. And so the body and the Spirit have this two-way relationship. We lean on the Spirit to help us tame the desires of the flesh that might lead to sin, but then we also tame the good desires of the flesh, the healthy cravings, to give priority to listening to the work of the Spirit. And if you understand this relationship between the realm of the Spirit, the realm of the flesh, that the attention that we give to one actually builds an outcome in the other, when we understand that dynamic, then fasting becomes a very natural way to engage the body to give priority to the Spirit. Now that leads me to say two things that I think are important, two things to say about what fasting is not. Okay? Number one, fasting is not a diet. Dieting is a discipline of the body for the sake of the body. I want to bring a physical change to my body, so I'm going to count calories, I'm going to eliminate meals. Fasting, on the other hand, is a discipline of the body that gives priority to the spirit. It's not about losing weight. That's the distinction that will be really important for us as we go through this, and it gives us a clue as to how we spend time in fasting. It was in the context of fasting that Jesus said this in Matthew 4. He was being tempted in the wilderness during his fast, and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Interesting. "But rather by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So notice that even healthy cravings for food remind us that not every craving of the flesh needs to be satisfied. Even the good cravings, we don't have to give in to them. There are, in fact, things more important than satisfying the good and natural cravings of the flesh. And at the top of that list is every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's why the scriptures make this intentional connection between mealtime, which is a good thing, and scripture. Giving up one for the other. We take time normally devoted to a meal for the flesh, and we redirect that to Scripture, to every word that comes from the mouth of God, paying attention. And so understand that fasting, without taking that time and redirecting it to Scripture and prayer, it's not fasting. It's simply skipping a meal. Fasting has an intentional giving of our attention to the things of the Spirit, devoting it to God in prayer. That's the first thing that fasting is not. The second thing that fasting is not, and this is something that I think we might slip into, is it's not a hunger strike. And what I mean by that is it's not a way that we can show God what's really important to us. It's not a way to show God how badly we want a particular answer to prayer. In other words, boy, God, this is so important to me that I'm not just going to pray, but I'm going to fast. I'm going to give up 3 meals to show you how important this is. Or I'm not just going to give up 3 meals, but I'm going to give up 3 days and let you see how important, what a priority this is in my life. This misguided understanding becomes an exercise of pleading with God or proving to God something is really important to us. But let me say this, that fasting is not intended to draw God into my priorities. And let me say it, not even if the priority is seeing friends come to know Jesus. Not even that priority. In fasting, I actually surrender that agenda for a day. I surrender every agenda to God's agenda. What are the words that come from the mouth of God? What is it that He wants to say in fasting, not what is it that I'm saying in fasting? And there will be things in the spiritual realm in your life that need to be addressed. We don't always know what those things are that God wants to say to us, and so in fasting, we actually give Him permission to speak to us. And as noble as it is for us to pray every day for our friends that don't know Christ, it may just be that there's something that God wants to say us that's just as important to God. And so our priority for the next 6 weeks, I will unashamedly say, we are appointed for fruitfulness, and this is what we're asking God to do. Okay, let's be really clear on that. But according to Jesus, the best thing that you can do for your friends to come to know Christ is for you to be deeply abiding in Christ yourself, that you need to be connected and hearing the Word of God. We will not see fruitfulness if we're not abiding deeply in Christ, and if he is not abiding in us. We've referred to this passage in John 15 many times over the last few months, and I just want to remind you that Jesus is the vine, right? We are the branches, we know that. And I've said many times, the job of the branch is not, it is not to produce fruit. That is not our job. The job of the branch is to stay connected to the vine, to keep our attention on the vine so that the vine can produce the fruit. And if that's true, then the best thing that we can do for the sake of our friends is to take some time regularly and devote our complete attention to Jesus. And that's why I'm going to suggest this rhythm for us over these next 6 weeks. That 6 days a week, you take this prayer card and you pray for the people that are around you, the places you live, learn, work, and play, and just lift them to the Lord. Ask God to open doors of opportunity to share Christ. But then on your day of fasting, I'm going to ask you to take a different prayer card. We're going to hand these out in just a moment. But that you lay aside the agenda of praying for your friends and concentrate on the priority of abiding in Christ. Don't worry about your friends and family just for this one day, because this day is about you and Jesus. This brings us back to Jesus' teaching of the vine and the branches, and you may recall that in that analogy, as he's painting this visual picture for us, he actually says that his father is the vine dresser. There's someone else involved. And what the vine dresser, what the father does is he takes his pruning shears and he prunes branches that are healthy, but they need some attention. Maybe that's you and I, and maybe we need some pruning, so we're listening to God. Okay, that's what we're doing in fasting. He's pruning, but then he's also taking some branches, and this visual is quite stunning. He takes them and throws them into the fire. And you think, that's a stark image when he's talking about people that want to follow Jesus. According to Jesus, in John 15, he says this, "If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned." I think, man, that's a stark image that we really need to pay attention to. But I want you to look at that passage for a moment, look at that verse, and think about this question. Which are the branches that are thrown into the fire? Look at the verse. Which are the branches that are thrown into the fire? Is it the branches that don't bear fruit? And I would suggest no, it's actually not. It's the branches that don't remain in the vine. And friends, this distinction is really important. It's not the branches that don't bear fruit, it's the branches that cannot bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit if you're not abiding in the vine. And so again, in this season of praying for fruitfulness, praying for people that we want to know Christ, it is so very important for us to be keenly aware that the fruit comes from Christ. And so we're going to devote one day each week to lay aside your list of friends and devote yourself, your full attention to abiding in the vine. And so we have a second prayer card, and I'm going to ask if our ushers and friends would help us just distribute those right now. And on this prayer card is an outline of how you can spend your time in prayer and fasting. And the first thing that it talks about there is taking some time from Psalm 139 in examination. Just allowing God, okay, what are your words for me? What do you want to say to me? And the scripture says very simply, the first line, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And so to take a moment and just go, "God, how is my heart towards you? Do I love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength?" And then it says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Am I anxious about anything?" I did this week. I started my fasting a week early. And I came to this and I thought, yeah, there actually is some stuff I'm kind of anxious about. One of the things is this whole idea of in a sense, being the evangelist, doing the work of the evangelist, that feels outside of my zone, and we talked about that a little bit last week. And so I'm just bringing that to the Lord, and then see if there be any offensive way in me. Is there anyone that I need to forgive? And lead me in the way everlasting. And in my mind, I've been struggling with, you know, are you leading me into something new in this evangelistic ministry, in this apostolic evangelistic role? And I'm struggling with that. And so as I take my time, these are the questions that are going through my mind. Are you leading me to something new? Then you come to the second passage of Scripture from John 15. And notice the first line in there, abide in me and I in you. Friends, that's the piece to concentrate on. Abide in me and I in you. Then it talks about, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's the consequence, but the teaching is, abide in me and I in you. And so this winter and spring, we talked about two different disciplines of abiding. The first is simple devotion. And by that I mean turning your eyes on Jesus just for the sake of being with Jesus. We have such a tendency to measure the value of our relationship with Jesus by how productive we are. You know, boy, I'm serving on this committee or I'm doing this or whatever it is. And it's actually not about Jesus. It's about what we're doing for Jesus. I imagine that someday, you know, we're going to be in heaven and all the work is done. The committees are done. The churches are done. The evangelism. I mean, it's all done. And all we have left is Jesus. And I used to imagine myself going, I'm going to be so bored. Nothing to do. No way to serve. No challenges. I mean, I love the challenge of serving in the church. And now I'm starting to think, if that's the way I'm thinking, I'm not sure I've learned to appreciate who Jesus is. That if Jesus isn't enough, then I've still got some kind of distorted of an understanding that I need to do something for Jesus. In our devotion to Jesus, we're trying to nurture time with him so that he is simply enough. And so in the surrender part there, I've written the question, one of the things we want to surrender is our tendency to use Jesus, we're using him, as a means to an end. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to devote my attention to you because I want to see fruitfulness, a means to an end. How about if we actually devote ourselves to Jesus just because of who he is? And you know, it's because of who he is, it's the sweetness of Jesus and who he is, that's the sap that runs through the vine. And if we're trying to use him as a means to an end, there's no sweetness in that. There's no sap in that. And so again, the priority of just surrendering our lives to Jesus. And then thirdly, I want to encourage you to make a practice each week while you're fasting of journaling. What are some of the things that you're thinking about? So I've already just given you a clue, some of the things that I'm thinking about as I'm fasting and I'm writing these things down. And it's been my experience over and over again that when I am with the Lord in prayer and he's saying something to me and I'm going, boy, it's just this spiritual insight and it fits me so well. I know it's of God. If I don't write it down, like literally 10 minutes later, I can't remember what it is. I don't have the words anymore. I know it has something to do with, you know, this, but I've forgotten it. So I've gone into the practice of writing it down, and there are times when something the Lord says to me in the morning has to do with ministry somehow, or maybe a teaching or something. And so what I do is I write it down, and then I email it to myself. Because by the time I get to the office 30 minutes later, I tell you, it is gone. It's amazing. And I think of that passage, one of the things Jesus teaches about Satan is that he snatches truth. He literally grabs it and takes it away so that we can't access it anymore. And so for me, I have learned that if I don't write these things down, I will lose them. And so journaling isn't just for the sake of journaling. It's for the sake of accurately recording with careful words, what is it that Jesus is saying to me? What is the truth that comes from the mouth of God? And so record these things and then go back and review them from time to time. Friends, the job of the branch is to make ourselves available to the vine. And that requires a deep change. It's not just a focus of attention, but it's a focus of attention that allows Jesus to make a difference in our life so that we're the kind of branch that can actually produce fruit. Our conference, you may understand, is right now undergoing a change, and they're calling it a deep change. And our conference of churches is meeting this next weekend, and on the agenda is what we're talking about today. How do we bring fruitfulness back into our churches? How do we move past the gathering for the sake of gathering, or gathering for the sake just of the people that know Christ, and gather for the sake of people who don't know Christ? And it seems to me that we're on the same track. In fact, the verse that they're using for this weekend is the verse that calls us and says, we have been appointed for fruitfulness. And so we're on the same journey right now that our conference is on. And so I'm terribly excited by that. I think this is a wonderful thing. But I also know how difficult it is to shift the direction of a church and of a conference. And so I'm going to ask that as we close today, that we just, let me just pray, not just for us, but also for our conference, that we in community of churches would understand what it is to abide in Christ so that he could do the work of fruitfulness in us. Father, thank you for just reminding us again of the importance of our relationship with Christ. And I think many of us has been taught and more or less discipled that the most important thing in our lives is to share Jesus with other people. And when we think of it that way, it becomes a task or a challenge or something that we need to do. But it seems to me, Jesus, that you teach something different, that the most important thing we could ever do is to learn to abide in you in such a way that you also abide in us. And that out of the fullness of life that you give to us, it changes us in such a way that the sweetness of Christ starts to flow through us. The sap begins to flow through the branch and produce fruit. Father, I pray that you would teach us this truth over this season of prayer and fasting, not just for the sake of those who would come to know Christ, but for the sake of our relationship with you, for the depth of our relationship with you, for how important it is for us to just learn to enjoy you for your own sake. We pray for our conference for the same truth. I pray for our leaders and those responsible for just speaking these things on the weekend. God, grant us grace and wisdom to discern when we're trying to do it on our own strength and produce our own fruit, or when we're actually turning our attention to you in a way that allows you to work through us. So we pray that you do this work in us as individuals, in our church, and also in our conference of churches. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I spent this whole morning talking about just the depth of our relationship with Christ. Some of you may be going, that piece I don't even know. I don't even, you know, you're assuming something here that I don't have. Let me just encourage you. There's someone sitting near you, a friend, who could explain that to you if it doesn't make sense to you. And I'd be happy to explain that to you if it doesn't make sense to you. But that's really what we're talking about, is the depth of our relationship with Christ. And then not just for us, but being able to explain that and share that with others. So I invite you to just pursue that if that's on your heart. We are a God's kingdom people. May God empower us with the presence of Christ so deep in our lives that the sap of his love would flow through us and produce fruit in others. Amen.